Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Now, this may be a little deep for some people tonight, but this prophecy is phenomenal, what God is doing in the lives of His people. Remember, there's always a pattern that God does, but in the book of Ezekiel, so incredible. And we're going to be talking about this, using this tonight as our opening, our key text, our opening text for this last letter that we're going to be speaking of. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9 and verse 4, if you found it, shout hallelujah. It's on your screen for your convenience. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark." Everybody say, "Set a mark." "Upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." And then the next verse says, verse 5, "And to the others he said in my hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity." Look at verse 6. It says, "Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark." Everybody say mark. Look at the next line. And it says, "And begin at my sanctuary." Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And so tonight, this is a very deep prophecy and scripture, but I believe the Lord is going to help us through this. And so tonight we're going to be talking about our last letter, number 22, the final one, the Tav, in our series, Prophetic Truths About the Hebrew Alphabet. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time that we've had together and been able to study the Hebrew letters, to learn the pictographs, to learn everything about your word, and there's so much more for us to know and to understand, but you've given us insight, and we're grateful for it. So let this word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So, just recently, last Wednesday night, we covered the Hebrew letter Sheen. Sheen, the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Sheen, we talked about what it meant, and one of the prophetic truths about Sheen is this. It is the blessing of Judah. And it's from the tribe of Judah that Christ comes out of. We learn that Christ is even identified as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And then we learn the second prophetic truth about Sheen is that it was the Shiloh, the name Shiloh, the coming one. Genesis 49 and verse 12 tells us, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So we know that Jesus comes out of the tribe of Judah, and the scepter, that is just a symbol of authority, does not depart out of the tribe of Judah. And we read that how I don't have it up here tonight, but in Revelation, how Christ defeats the Antichrist, the false prophet, and that scepter is seen one more time. And so we're grateful for Shiloh. Shiloh is the name for the coming Messiah. Shiloh literally means peace giver. How many is grateful for the peace of God, right? We all need the peace of God, and I'm grateful for that. And then we said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes this newsletter to them, and he says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And so in our world today, we're seeing this push for peace, this peace process, whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's just recent again between Ukraine and Russia, all the things that are going on in Europe. Now, that may be national, you know, peace among nations, but then there's also the peace that we need to find in our own nation. We have ICE agents that are being assassinated, being shot at. I just read today where there was one, you know, shot in California. There's orders by drug cartels to, they're putting bounties on these ICE agents, bounties up to $50,000 to kill these ICE agents. So there's lawlessness all in our nation and in our world, and we need Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can bring peace. The government is not going to bring us peace. Only Christ can bring us true peace. And so I'm grateful for that promise of peace. Now let's move tonight to the last letter, the letter Tav. And I want to read to you one more time because I want you to see this scripture. It is so phenomenal. In Ezekiel 9, verse 4, it said, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of them." So what's happening here, there's a specific mark that has been given by these angels upon the righteous, all right? And then he says in verse 5, and to the others he said, "Mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite." It says, "Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark." And I like what it says here, "and begin at my sanctuary." Now, this is a prelude to a scripture that is spoken in the New Testament, where judgment begins where? Judgment begins at the house of God, at the house of the Lord. And so that's a prelude to this. And I saw, well, children are even involved in this. Now, if you'll remember, you look in the last days, especially the Great Tribulation, age is no discrepancy to judgment. Doesn't matter how young or how old we are now. That is physical death. Spiritual death, it's a different story. When we die, I believe there's an age of accountability. And I believe it's different for each person, but I believe that there's a special age for children, and that when a child dies, God will take them and put them in his bosom and in heaven. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. But there's an age of accountability, and I think many, many people preach on that, and they use the Jewish, the bar mitzvahs, the bat mitzvahs, the age of children when they become considered an adult in a Jewish teaching, and that can be at the age of 12, 13, but I believe, honest to God, I believe it's different for each child. Now, I think that's important for us to understand. But it begins in the sanctuary, and I see this happening. This is incredible. It's an incredible teaching, and I believe that the Lord is really going to help us through this. So we're looking at Tav. It is the final letter, the 22nd letter. Now, we in our English language, we have 26 letters. Now remember, as we taught the very first time in this introduction, there are no vowels in the Hebrew alphabet, right? Only consonants. And so it's the 22nd letter. Our key text is Ezekiel 9:46. If we're going to look at the modern text of the letter Tav, it's going to look like this. You'll notice a lot of the letters look similar, but there is variations in everything, but we didn't get into all that. If we were in the canon, now this is important. If we were in the pre-Canaanite time, this would look like that. That's what the letter Tav would look like. Now this is interesting, because if you remember, God put a mark upon Cain. Do you remember that in the scripture? God marked Cain. There's a lot of, now I cannot tell you exactly what the mark is or was, but there's a lot of people believe that that's what the mark looked like on Cain's forehead. It looked like this. In fact, they even suggest it was the letter Tav. We're not going to get into that tonight. If you were in Moses' time, it's going to look more like a knife and a stake put together, but it's still kind of a form as a plus sign or a T or a cross, which we're going to be about to get to. And then in David's time, King David's time, it is absolutely, it looks like a cross, okay? And so the letter Tav, I think, is one of the most interesting letters. It literally means, Tav literally means a mark. It literally means a signature or a sign. You know, they say put your, you know, X marks the spot, right? But this is what this, in the Hebrew, that letter Tav, that's what it literally means. It means a mark, a signature, or a sign. And I think this is incredible. Before I forget, Psalms 119, 169 through 176 in your older Bibles, that would be the reading for your Psalms and the letter of Tav. So let's look at the first prophetic truth about Tav. And I want to talk to you. Don't get it too far ahead of me, Pastor Crystal, but it's rest. Everybody say rest. Now, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, the Bible says to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Hebrew word for rest, does anybody know what the Hebrew word for rest? It is Shabbat. Everybody say Shabbat. So they have, now Jews believe, and Messianic Jews believe that the day of rest is Saturday. I'm not here to bring confusion or even debate, right? What day is the Sabbath? Because there's a lot of people get confused on this and they make a big deal about it. And it divides churches. People won't even come to church because they don't think it's the right day. But let me just tell you that that's not my assignment tonight. But it is, this Tav is a meaning. It has a meaning of rest. Now everybody say Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom is the greeting that you would receive on the Shabbat day. It absolutely means the day of rest, peace be with you, basically what it means. And so this is something, the thought that I had. The thought is this, that God has set apart one day a week so we may rest in Him. How many could use some rest? We need rest. We need rest in God, and having a day of rest is so crucial. Now, let me tell you this. God will never, never ask you to do something that God hasn't already done. Think about that. God is not going to give you an assignment that He's not already proved Himself through it. That's comforting for me. So God's not going to ask you to take one day a week and tell you, you got to rest this one day. You have to rest. Now, some people take it literally the whole day. Now, that's fine. You rest the way that God tells you. But it's so crucial, especially in these last days, that you find rest. Let me show you and prove to you. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Here's a scripture. It's on your screen. It says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. In other words, set it apart, because that in it He had what? God had rested in all His work which God created and made. So if God takes a day, think about this. God, Jehovah, the creator of all matter, entire universe, if He has to have a day, if He made a day of rest, don't you think it's important for you to have a day of rest? Amen? So I think I wanted to start with that. Number two. Now let's get into this, the deeper part of this. The second prophetic truth about Tav is a mark. Is a mark. Now, I love this. I find this so fascinating. Look with me in Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. It says, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all abominations that be done in the midst of thereof. And so, if you'll look at Ezekiel chapter 9, if you'll look at the whole chapter, it can be summed up as this. It was angels who are marking the righteous. Angels who are marking the righteous. If you'll look at it, go back a little earlier in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 2. If you'll look at that scripture, it says, and behold, six men, this word for men is actually angels. Six men came from the way of the higher gate which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And it says, and one man among them was clothed with linen. And look at what it says. With a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and they stood by the brazen altar. So here you have God instructing six angels, and He's telling them, I want you to, this specific angel, take your writer's ink horn, take your writing tool, whatever it may have been that day, and I want you to, you're going to write for me. You're going to mark for me. I think this is incredible. So there's two important principles that you got to pause for a moment and look at. Number one, God's word is a shadow of things to come. It always is. God always, there's something in his word, especially in the beginning. If we want to know the end, you always start at the beginning, right? And so you go here and you see, well, God's got a foreshadow. He's foreshadowing something here with this angel. The second thing that I want you to hear tonight, I want you to hear real closely tonight. This is important. The second principle is this. The devil will always offer a counterfeit of the things of God. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but prepare you. They're predicting 18 months. 18 months and AI, artificial intelligence, will completely have taken over this world. That's what they're predicting, 18 months. That's not very long. I mean, that can happen. They're predicting that. Now, what is going to oppose that? Well, it's going to be people saying, well, I'm not going to buy into this. There's going to be different, but they realize that the creators of like ChatGPT, the creators of this artificial intelligence in a lot of areas, the Google platforms, almost every platform has it. They realize that they are they're ready to make trillions, not billions, but trillions of dollars through artificial intelligence. So that's why they're pushing it. These CEOs are pushing to do something. And so, but the devil is going to always offer a counterfeit. So if God marked Cain with a, let's just say it is a tav, with a tav, if God marked Cain with a tav, and if the six angels and one particular angel with an inkhorn on his side is marking the righteous with this letter tav, with Ezekiel's time it would look more like this, right? The devil's going to say, hey, I want to offer a counterfeit, and I want to mark people as well. Now, right now, everyone in this room, we are all susceptible to the technology of the mark of the beast. Every one of us. People are paying with their phone, their smart devices. Listen, I was, and I know Haley probably can attest to this, I was floored when I went to Honduras. And the number of people that had smartphones in a third world country, I could not believe that. I mean, it's like everyone had their hand on a smartphone. And so the technology of the mark of the beast is there. It is there. They're going to digital currency. In UK, you have to have identification. Let me just pause for a moment. Yesterday there was a breach in AWS, which is the Amazon Web Services. There was a breach and some people couldn't get on certain websites. Amazon had a problem. Blink, our cameras are through Amazon. I couldn't access some of the cameras because this was shut down. Canva, the college students, many of the college students use Canva. And that was shut down. I couldn't even go there. I've tried to load my podcast to Spotify. I couldn't get on Spotify. So there's a lot of this, because of this blackout, there's a lot of problems that face. But let me ask you a question. What's going to happen to you if you're traveling and you have to have your smartphone to pay? You're all digital currency and there's a blackout. What are you going to do? You're going to be stuck, right? It's going to be complete chaos. So we read in Revelation, and it talks about the mark of the beast, right? And so Satan is going to counterfeit. He's going to put a mark. Where's the mark going to be put? On their forehead or on the right hand, right? That's where the mark is going to be placed. Now, my grandmother Brown, when I was a little child, and I asked my grandmother Brown, she's a very strict Baptist woman, and I asked her about the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. I was just a child, you know. 8, 9 years old, ask her questions about it, and she said, what they're going to do, John Kerry, is they're going to take a hot iron. Now, she was born in 1908, and her dad was a farmer. They're going to take a hot iron, and they're going to sketch it, because the Greek word for mark is actually a word of sketching, and they're going to sketch it, going to stick it in there. That, you know, that could be a possibility. Why, everybody loves getting tattoos, so why not have a tattoo that has ink on it that can register through, computer, the near field, whatever they call that, near field, I don't know. I can't remember all of it, what it's called. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Why can't they put a chip in your, not just put a chip, but make a tattoo or some kind of something on you where you're able to do this and buy and sell? Now, remember, the mark in Revelation is a commerce mark. You cannot buy or sell, but it's also because the Antichrist is not the one that issues the mark. It is the false prophet. Read your Bible. The false prophet issues a mark. So that tells me then, not only is it a commerce mark, you can't buy or sell, but it is also a religious mark. Now, I mean, Ash Wednesday, when it comes around in Catholicism, many of them put a cross on their forehead for Ash Wednesday. So you see what we're building up to? If you see, say amen. All right, that way I know that you're there. All right, I know you're with me. So that's important. Satan is going to try to offer a counterfeit. He does. But interesting enough, when I looked at this word mark, it's used in 21 passages of the Old Testament. This word mark, tav, is used in 21 passages of the Old Testament. In fact, it's designated as a mark of a location, a sign, even an omen. It is to consider something, this mark. It also means, a mark for an attack. All right? When I saw that, I thought maybe it's like a target, like a bullseye or something. But Bible scholars have pointed out this, that the angel with a writer's ink horn by his side may have placed a mark similar to the shape of a cross upon those righteous people in Ezekiel's day. Wow. This is interesting because it's going to take us somewhere. How many is with me? If you'll notice, Ezekiel 9, verse 4 through 6, is parallel to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, in which an angel comes from the east with the seal of God to seal the servants of God in their foreheads. Who are those servants of God in their foreheads? You guys ready for this? The 144,000. Those Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. This angel seals them, marks them. And that's interesting that we're seeing this take place in the book of Revelation. So, just as this small remnant that we saw in Ezekiel's day, that is sealed, that is sealed or marked in that time, we see something happen. What? It's not so much the mark that we need to pay attention to. There's something, the reason why the tav or the mark is on their forehead. This is why. It is for supernatural protection from the judgments of God. Just like it was with the 144,000 that's going to happen in Revelation, this actually happened in Ezekiel's time. God, I also see something. If you're enjoying this, amen. I got to make sure you're with me. God, do you realize we're talking about a mark? These marks. Do you realize that God has marked every believer with the sign of His promise? Do you know that you've been sealed? How many are believers today? Do you know that you've been sealed with a mark? Don't go out of church tonight and say, Pastor JC said I've got a mark on me. No, don't go that. I'm not going that, but I want you to see that. Every believer is sealed with a mark. We all have with a seal of a promise. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It's on your screen. It says, in whom you also trusted, after that you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto praise of His glory. Unto the praise of His glory. That's amazing. So, you and I, we're sealed. Now think about this. because of the work of the Holy Spirit, because of the redemptive covenant of Jesus Christ, because of Pastor, called you a pastor, Brother Dale, maybe God is calling you to pastor, because of Brother, you know, like Brother Dale teaches on the blood covenant, because of the covenant, every one of us here, we have a protection. The blood is our protection. It is a mark. It is a mark. It is a signature. Christ literally dying upon a mercy seat for you and I. I get that thought of the mercy seat as actually a seat that was prepared for those that were crucified in the Romans' time. There was an actual mercy seat. And so when the body was getting where they couldn't handle, you know, being crucified, they would just barely sit down on what was a little platform called a mercy seat that was embedded upon the cross. Jesus literally spilled blood on the mercy seat for you and I. And it was His signature. How many is grateful? Have you ever thought about this? How is our name written down? Who writes our name? A new name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You remember Jesus tells the disciples, He says, hey, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written down in whose book? The Lamb's Book. It is Jesus' signature, right? And the last thing is great. It's a sign. Amen. And I'm grateful for the blessings. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Amen. So how do I apply this to my life? Well, as we've always been speaking and talking about using a pictograph. A pictograph is simply a symbol or sign of a letter or a word. And we know that these pictures that we draw, that we did, Pastor Crystal colored it in for me tonight. The pictures that we draw do not replace, define, or limit Scripture. All they do is illustrate Scripture. So Tov, and we didn't talk too much about it, but Tov has the, in the Gematria, it has a number value of 400. Sheen last week had 300. Tov has 400. We didn't talk too much about it. But the pictograph of Tov is a picture of the cross. That's what it is. It is the cross. A cross. You know, God could have used any other form of torture to take Christ, His Son, to. But God chose a cross. He chose, Sister Janie, God chose Tov. He chose the final letter of the Hebrew Aleph Bet, alphabet. He chose the last letter. He chose a cross for Christ to die on, because He knew that that would be the once death for mankind. We're not going to need any sheep slaughtered to go on an altar. Jesus became the Lamb. As John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. This is so wonderful, and I'm grateful for that. And so Tov is the sign that symbolizes these things. It symbolizes ownership. It symbolizes it's finished. It symbolizes the whole or complete. It symbolizes sealed. It also symbolizes to make covenant. And I love this. It's a symbol of to join two things together. Humanity and divinity coming together and Christ making us one new man. I love this. So let me ask you, where was it then? When Jesus said it is finished, if Tov actually means finished, it is finished, where was Jesus? Anybody? When He said it is finished. Say it louder. Jesus was on the cross. Absolutely. We know that. I mean, it seems, you know, pretty elementary. We should all know that Jesus is on the cross. It is finished. And so look at this. John 19 and verse 30. I want you to see this. When Jesus, on your screen, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. So Aleph, He is our, we say in Greek, He is the Alpha and the Omega. In the Hebrew, we would say He is the Aleph and the Tav. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. And it is finished on the cross. But let me pause and help you reflect, help us all reflect on this next thought. Put it up, if you will, Pastor Crystal. The letter Tav may be the final letter, but it's just the beginning. It may have been, Satan may have thought, well, he's dead, that's it. But no, that was just the beginning. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose again the third day. And we're grateful for victory over death. Oh, death, where is your sting, right? Oh, victory, oh, grave, where is your victory? And so thank God tonight that this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Let's stand together. What if we all determine? Let me just ask you real quick. Just be blunt. Do you have the mark of God on your life? Do you have the mark of God on your life? Only you can answer that. If you're not, if you don't, tonight's a great night to begin. To say, God, I want to be marked for you. I want to be sealed with that promise from the Holy Spirit. I want to find everlasting. I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you said that, and you're a Christian and you're a believer and you're following God, that you know that the cross, that's just the beginning for all of us. We deny ourselves and we take up what? We take up our cross and we follow Him daily. Daily. Father, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for this teaching. Thank you for this time that we've had in this Hebraic study, prophetic truths of the Hebrew alphabet. We thank you, Lord, for this study. You've gotten us through it. We're grateful. But this is just the beginning. It is just the beginning for everyone in this room, for all of us. We want to know you. We want to know you more. We want to trust you more. We want to follow you. We want to surrender every part of our lives. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we give you the glory and we give you all the honor. Let's lift our hands.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.